Good morning.
Good morning.
A beautiful morning it is that God has blessed us with as we get even closer to the day of Christmas. Do you have trust issues? Taking people at their word? If you do, it's definitely understandable, especially in the times that we live. Thankfully, there is one source which we can always trust, and if there is an issue, it's not with him. And so may the Lord God continue to deepen our trust, which is rooted in him. For he is able to see what we cannot always see. Advent, peace, and hope, and joy continue. As we now turn our attention to the word of our Lord, I invite you to the invocation on page 3 of the service bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his.
We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him and praise his name.
For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues for all generations.
Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them to the end.
Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
You to stand. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. Jesus has said, as recorded in Matthew 22,
"Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind."
This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
But we have disobeyed Him, and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me, according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. Take away the burden of our sins and make us ready for the celebration of your birth, that we may receive you in joy and serve you always.
For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. On this fourth Sunday in Advent, as we continue to prepare our hearts and our minds to celebrate the birth of our Savior and all that comes with the coming of our Savior at His birth, a reading from Holy Scripture, 2 Samuel 7, a reminder to us that it's not the earthly house that matters as much as the spiritual one. "Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth, and I will provide a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning, and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord Himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish His kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of His kingdom forever. I will be His father, and He will be my son. When He does wrong, I will punish Him with a rod wielded by men, with floggings inflicted by human hands. But my love will never be taken away from Him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We join in Psalm 100. We'll sing it as noted there in the bulletin. The mystery related to our salvation is no longer a mystery. A reading from Holy Scripture, Romans 16. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you again
to stand this time for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the first chapter. The word of our God will never fail. Key words then and still today. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we now turn to our hymn of the day.
God's grace, his mercy, and his peace thankfully remain ours in great abundance, and this all comes to us through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear these words once again from the Gospel of St. Luke. For no word from God will ever fail. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, again whose birth we look forward to celebrating, because we know with his birth our salvation has been won, and we look forward to a day in eternal paradise. What is it, dear friends, that we can count on as we go through this life? Or is it easier to factor on what we cannot count on as we go through this life? Well, what we can count on is life will be filled with sorrow, pain, death, taxes, which can lead to sorrow and pain, broken promises, not God's. Upon further reflection, I mean, the list of what we can count on probably could outnumber what we cannot count on, especially as we focus just on the negative side of things that we can or cannot count on. But on the positive side, what is it that we can count on? Well, our scripture readings for today give us something that we can count on. And these scripture readings are connected together by a common theme. And that theme is simply this: God keeps his promises. And he can do this because nothing is impossible with God. His word does not fail. And so, dear friends in Christ, count on this. Nothing is impossible with God. His word does not fail, including when it comes to the plan of our salvation. The plan that he revealed in part to Mary, as we hear in Luke chapter 1. There are such great details that the Lord gives in this account that he had recorded down to back up the reality, the accuracy of the fulfillment of his promise soon to take place, and how it was going to take place, that fulfillment of his promise already recorded in Genesis 3. But God had that plan already in mind even before the earth's foundations were laid. 6 months after Elizabeth would be told that she would conceive. Another nothing is impossible with God moment, because Zechariah and Elizabeth were not in a position to have children. But according to God's plan and in his good time, he enabled her to conceive. And John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Messiah, would be born. God keeps his promises. For nothing is impossible with God. We can count on that. And so 6 months later, after that announcement to Elizabeth and the fact that she's able to conceive, goes to Mary and reveals to her her role in the plan of salvation. One that she did not deserve, and she even admits that in the Song of Mary, that he is my Savior too. How have I found such favor with God, since I am a sinful human being? But God had mercy, as he does with all of us, and did have a special role for Mary. And that role would be how his son, our Savior Jesus, would take on human flesh. Now, this announcement was made in a town called Nazareth. Nazareth. Is that similar to Stockton? No, I'm just kidding. Just seeing if you're listening. God doesn't operate in the way that we would expect him to operate. It wasn't in the big city of L.A., the big city of Jerusalem, that God would make such an announcement and go to such a person, but someone from Nazareth. God's grace in action. And then God, through the angel, goes into detail of what would take place. How she would be able to conceive, since she was a virgin. And the Lord answered that question. Through the angel, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And that was necessary, as we know. Because if Jesus was born in the ordinary way, not only would he have human flesh, but he also would have a sinful nature. And that would not cut it for our plan of salvation. Mary asks again, how can this be? She didn't ask with the same type of attitude that Zechariah asked, and so the Lord did not treat her response in the same way they did with Zechariah and had him be silent until the naming of John the Baptist. His name will be John. Mary was just simply asking because I am engaged to a man, Joseph, and we have not had relations, and that was proven. So how can this be? And so the Lord enlightened her. And what was Mary's then response after the Lord gave her more details of how this could be? May it be as you have said, Lord. Obedience, trust in the fact that nothing is impossible with God. And then also an attitude of humility. There were no Facebook posts going around. Hey, you know, God's doing this for me. Look at me. All bow down to me. She would be abhorred at what is all going on and how she's been elevated. She was just a humble servant, unworthy of such a role. A good lesson there for us too. As we seek to carry out our obedience to the Lord with humility, as we seek to carry out the various roles that God has put us in, whatever vocation it might be, as husband, wife, father, mother, grandfather, worker, employer, employee, whatever it might be, that we do it with humility and trust. And now to the key of that message, the purpose of Jesus in the flesh, to save people, you and me included, from our sins. And so again, to have that happen, it was necessary that Jesus take on human flesh, but not sin, so that he could be under the curse of the law as we are under the curse of the law, and yet keep the law unlike us. It was also necessary that he take on human flesh to have his ancestry traced back to David as promised. You will have an heir who will sit on your throne, and his kingdom will never end, ultimately fulfilled in Jesus. And so while Jesus took on human flesh, he still remained God as he always has been and always will be. Something that can blow our human mind away. How can someone be true man and true God? Not two different people, but one person. Well, again, nothing is impossible with God. His word does not fail, including when it comes to the plan of our salvation. And that's why Jesus came, to save people, you and me included, from our sins. And so he took his perfect life to the cross, which was the goal of why he came and died that innocent death, where he declared, "It is finished." Our sin, our debt to God has been paid in full and not going to be held against us. Our sins have been removed from God's sight as far as the east is from the west. Again, to our human mind, it's like, what? But to God, nothing is impossible. His word does not fail, including when it comes to our salvation. That forgiveness then is applied to us personally through God's tools, his means of grace, the gospel in word and sacrament. What seems like just ordinary words on a page, or seems like ordinary water because it is, or just unleavened bread and fruit of the vine? What's that? But again, nothing is impossible with God. And through these what seems to us ordinary means, God does some extraordinary things. Talk about a miracle, bringing us to faith, turning us from unbelief to belief. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. As he showed grace to Mary, so he shows grace to each and every one of us. There's no magic involved when it comes to being part of God's family. It's simply his means of grace, the gospel in word and sacrament. And he continues then to have that means of grace in front of us to help us stay connected to him and have that forgiveness clear and front and center in our hearts and in our minds. Because that forgiveness is the motivation behind then all that we do. And it's a reminder that if God was willing to give up his son for us, who did not deserve it, how much more will he do whatever else we need to stay on track for salvation? Think of through your life, whether it's been a short time here on earth or a longer time here on earth, how God has worked things out in your life for your good, even when you did not think there was a way that this could work out for your good. And even if you're still struggling with something that has inflicted your life, consider again what the goal for your life is from God's point of view, and how he can use that affliction to not only keep you focused, but put you in a position to help focus others on what truly matters. It's not the earthly house, it's not the earthly life that matters, but the spiritual one. And for that, God does work out all things for our good. Nothing is impossible with God. His word does not fail, including with what takes place in our lives. Would you agree that God knows what he is doing? In society, they may question that God really doesn't know what he is doing, but when we take a step back and examine what he all does day after day, we have to say, yeah, God, you know what you're doing. The sun rises and sets. The seasons, they come and go in order. Gravity, and I mean, you name it, the list can go on and on of things that we take for granted day after day, pointing to the fact that God, the Creator, knows what he is doing and sustaining and providing for us. As we've said on different occasions, there's no reason for people to go hungry or to be without a home unless they want to. Because we have been given the materials and the food to take care of people. It's not on him, but on our use or lack of use of what he has provided. And then when it comes to our bodies, Scripture reminds us how we are fashioned, that he has made us beautiful creatures, right, who are to respect one another. For we all are in the same boat. We all are guilty of sin and are born and conceived under the wrath of God. And yet all are redeemed by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Whether we believe it or not, Jesus died for the sins of all. And through faith in him, they get the benefits of that as we do. But again, God has fashioned and made us beautiful creatures. And think about, too, all the natural remedies that are out there to help our bodies heal and function. But with anything, right, if we abuse what God has put before us, that, again, is not on him, but on us. Nothing is impossible With God, his word does not fail. He promised to sustain us to the end of days, and he does. That leads then to an attitude of trust in him, one that the Holy Spirit works in us through the gospel in word and sacrament, and one that he keeps in us through that same gospel in word and sacrament. That trust that is to deepen as we stay connected to him. And so that trust that we are to have in him, that is shown that we have it by our worship of him, not just when it's convenient to do so, but sometimes when it's inconvenient to our earthly schedule. That first commandment and that third commandment are not just suggestions, but they are to be followed. God, you are the priority in my life. I do want to gladly hear your word. Because we know what happens when we get disconnected from that word. We don't function, and we don't think, and we don't trust as we ought, and we end up making more mountains out of molehills. So there's a reason why Jesus had to add Matthew 6, do not worry, and seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these mountains that you're making won't seem like mountains. We tend to major in minors. And not just on Sundays are we to worship him. Every day of our life, in view of God's mercy, we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Everything we do and say and think is to be considered as an act of worship to God. And so when we examine our lives with that thought, do you want to hide under a rock? But thankfully, we don't have to, because God's mercy is fresh and new each and every day, and his mercy is rooted in the sacrifice of his Son and sealed by his resurrection. How else can we show our trust in God? Well, again, letting God be God and not forgetting that nothing is impossible with him. He is one who keeps his word. His word does not fail. For if we measure success and how things get done by how we think they will get done or not get done, there's not much that's going to get done. I mean, think of it in the church history. If we just relied on ourselves, where would the church go? Probably wouldn't be around, would it? But sometimes we do have to act on faith. Not blind faith, but faith rooted in God's word and his promises. And understand why we are here as a church. To not be just a social club, but to nurture one another with the word of God, and to reach out to others with that same word of God, following the Great Commission. And so sometimes we have to make decisions that to our human psyche are just like, I don't know. Because how many of us are really born as optimists but more as pessimists? But thankfully with God, he gives us that optimistic, realistic attitude. We're not talking pie in the sky stuff. We're talking realism. And even in our own life, how often do we not go ahead with something because we don't see, but God has opened the door and made it so clear? At least it's clear to those around us. How often do we not go ahead and do something? Maybe it's say hi to somebody. Maybe it's befriend somebody. Maybe it's give to charity or show an act of kindness. Because of our own inhibitions, not realizing that God could use that act of kindness through you, not only to help you, but to somebody else. For nothing is impossible with God. His word does not fail. Even when life brings heartache. And all of us, in one way or another, are touched by heartache. God's word does not fail. He reminds us of that in Hebrews 11, that Heroes of Faith chapter. Talk about people who experienced heartache, and yet people who did not waver in trust, in their belief, in the fact that nothing is impossible with God. His word does not fail. Noah, go build an ark. Say what? Yeah, go ahead. Abraham, All this is going to be yours. Your offspring is as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sea and the sand on the seashore. Nothing is impossible with God. His word does not fail. David, you're going to have an heir on your throne forever. What? And on and on and on the examples go, and even in your own life. His word does not fail. Because we are not the object of that word being fulfilled. God is. And so the object of our faith is important. It can't be ourselves and our mindsets and our history, but it has to be God and his history and his son Jesus and what he's done for us. So what can we count on in this life? Well, at the end of the day, one fact that matters most is this. Nothing is impossible with God. His word does not fail. So Merry Christmas, for God's peace and his hope and his joy remain the constant in our life. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join together in a confession of faith in the middle of page 9. The Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. We join in the prayer of the church. We pray, Lord, our Maker and Preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us each day.
We are not worthy of all the mercies you show us.
You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature.
We thank you for those who teach and preach your saving truth that has its place in every world.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them.
Heal those who are sick, cheer those who are sad, calm those who are distressed, and comfort all who are old and infirm.
Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Grant your blessings to every nation on earth. Where there are wars, may there be peace. Where there is hatred, let it be healed. Where there is poverty, danger, or disaster, come.
Lord of glory, you have bought us with your lifeblood as the price, never grudging for the lost ones that tremendous sacrifice. Give us faith to trust you boldly, hope to stay our souls on you, but O best of all your graces, with your love, our love renew. Birthdays are another reminder of your grace, O Lord, as you are the giver of life, physical and spiritual. For those among us privileged to celebrate another year of grace, continue to open their eyes to the blessings you have given and will put into their life, that they may reflect glory and praise back to you. Renew the love between husbands and wives, especially those among us celebrating their wedding anniversary. May we, their friends and family, continue to support them in their marriage, living life in your ways. Be with the Mike and Hannah Heineman family as they mourn the loss of four of her step-siblings in a tragic auto accident. Through this difficult time, to make sense of what has happened, increase their trust in you and refresh them with the peace you have to offer. Help them be your witnesses as they seek to not only be consoled, but to console family and friends. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory.
We give ourselves to you, that we may serve you in whatever way is pleasing in your sight. Amen.
Temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory
Romans 11. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out.
Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?
Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? We pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Question for you. Was Harold a singer? It says he was. Okay, I won't quit my day job. All right, thank you. That was a warm-up for tonight. If you're able to make it back, 5 o'clock, our Christmas Eve service here inside the church. And if you also want to sing some extra Christmas carols, you're invited back at 8 o'clock. We'll have that taking place on the patio, Lord willing. We'll have fires going to help warm up the area. But again, just to enjoy more fellowship and Christmas songs. So 5 o'clock, regular Christmas Eve service, 8 o'clock, carols around the fire on the patio. Christmas Day service at 9:30 here in the church, celebrating Holy Communion. Just a little Christmas trivia as well. Where did Ave Maria come from? Verse 28. Greetings, Mary, Maria. There you go. Thank offerings for 2024 are available. They're in the library in the admin building. That door has been unlocked. Please help yourself. If you know of someone who is not able to receive their envelopes in person, please pick them up for them. I appreciate that. Those who do auto giving, you won't be having a hand physical packet of envelopes, but you do have a number that's been given to you. Some of the numbers have changed from last year. If you want to confirm your number has changed, email Linda Haffill, and she'll give you that information. One of our teachers has received a call to teach at Trinity Lutheran in Aberdeen, South Dakota. That's Hannah Ripley. So she received it before she went on Christmas break. Keep her in your prayers along with her family. And you can, when she gets back, she shouldn't have a decision by then. You can offer her feedback or you can email it to her and she'll see it that way. Just to direct your attention to the weekly news for the things that are going on here at church and school, and a reminder of the services today and tomorrow. And then next week, Sunday, we're back at the 8 and 10:45 service times with Bible study in between. Have a great day in the Lord, and joyous Christmas celebrations. Thank you.